I like having my phone.
Yeah.
And, you know, to be able to take pictures, to be able to just like, just during downtime, like, you know, we're eating food around the campfire and like nothing's really going on. It's like, maybe I just want to scroll Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I want to, you know, maybe I got to look something up and like, hey, how far is this hiking trail?
How to build a fire.
Right. How to set up my hammock. Is this poison ivy? Welcome back to Knox and Nature, the podcast about archery, hunting, hiking, conservation, firearms, and whatever else we feel like talking about. It is episode 40 today. We do have a full crew, and Jared is back in Michigan. Unfortunately, not in the studio yet, but we're working towards it. So, yeah. How you feeling, Justin, after this cold snap here?
Well, it's super warm today, comparatively. Oh, it was 15 earlier. Dropped back down to 5, but it's been cold.
I saw a meme because I don't remember exactly where it was, but somewhere in the Midwest was like negative 19. I think somewhere in Minnesota.
Yeah.
It was like negative 19, and then it showed Antarctica was 7 degrees Fahrenheit. And they're like, bro, how are we colder than Antarctica right now? Like,
right.
You know, whatever.
Yeah, with the wind chills, we were down to negative 20s in a couple days.
Negative 22, I think, on Thursday.
Yeah. That's too cold. It makes going outside not enjoyable.
I made the walk to my truck, the 35 feet or whatever. Like, my hands were numb.
Yeah.
Just, like, if, God forbid you got to brush any snow off. Like, if you don't have gloves, you're screwed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's, I think Friday might have been worse.
I think Friday was worse.
Yeah.
I think Friday was the real bad one.
The problem for me too, you're probably in a similar situation, is like, you know, Jared's driving right now at least over an hour to work. I'm driving like 30 minutes. You're driving about 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So my truck, you turn the heat on like up high so that you're comfortable. And about halfway through the drive, you got to turn it back down.
Yeah.
Because like with a big coat on, you're like, I'm chilling. All of a sudden, it's 75 in the truck, and you're dressed for 12 degrees.
Yeah.
And it's real cold. And then you get real hot, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, sucks.
And even last night, like, walking downtown and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It was rough.
Yeah.
It's like the wind picks up, and it's like, oh, my God.
I went out Friday night. Same thing. Just everything. We didn't walk anywhere because it's so cold.
Yeah, we walked. We drove to the first place, and then walked everywhere else, but
that's brutal.
It was very cold.
Do you have to wear another layer under your ski jacket? What's that rated to?
I didn't. I could have. That's why I got that sweatshirt today.
Yeah.
But it's warmer today, so I probably didn't need it, but it was nice.
You just bought that sweatshirt today?
No, it's hers.
Oh, okay.
Just borrowing it.
I was going to say you should have bought a small if that was a medium.
It is a medium, yeah. Medium Carhartt size, so it's extra large and everything else.
That's not true.
Dude, Carhartt sizes are crazy.
Oh, it's like one size difference. So it's probably, you know, Carhartt medium fits like a normal large. Because I wear a Carhartt medium.
Oh.
Like all my work shirts are Carhartt medium. My hoodies are large because I like to be a little, I don't want like a form-fitting hoodie for work. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but I didn't have that last night and it was freaking cold.
So we haven't been outside much other than Jared. We'll let him tell his story of this weekend, but for the most part we've been hunkered down, really trying to not spend time outside. I did snow blow. When was that? Saturday morning? Yesterday morning?
Yeah.
That was brutal.
Yeah, I snow blowed and then I changed my headlight. I had a headlight that was out.
Yeah. Frozen fingers.
Frozen fingers, and my hood latch wouldn't relatch because it was frozen.
Yep.
And I had to take a torch and thaw it out. But
could just pour hot water on it or something. But
I had a torch in the garage right there.
Yeah.
I don't want to go inside and boil water.
You can on your pocket rocket deluxe, bro.
Good. 5 minutes.
5 minutes.
Good to go. Yeah. Think about that. But the torch did it. But it was slightly annoying. It took me longer to thaw that thing out than it did to change headlights.
Oh, yeah. Especially on those old Toyotas.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a ton of room, but it's pretty simple to just swap that stuff out.
There's a ton of room in there.
No.
It was, yeah, it's...
The Tacoma always sucked because
sucks on the battery side.
The battery side, and then the other side you have, if depending on the year, you have that fuse box.
Mm-hmm.
It's right there. or not the fuse box, the ABS box.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you have the battery fuse box on the driver's side, and then the other side you've got that ABS block, which kind of sucks, but
right,
whatever. So, yeah. But Jared, you had a little UP adventure, so tell us what that was all about. How'd that go?
So, yeah, so instead of hunkering down like everyone else, we decided to venture out to Marquette. And I think -2 most of the way up there. And we made it just in time to watch Tech kick NMU's ass in hockey.
Nice. That
was pretty cool. Yep. I was wearing my Tech t-shirt. Brooke's dad was wearing his NMU alumni stuff. And they lost, but yeah, you know, that was a little win for me. And then it was like -8 by the time that we were actually in Marquette. So walking back to the car sucked because it was packed. It was a packed game. I don't know if you guys have seen like those British dudes that travel America in Michigan right now.
Oh yeah,
they were at they were at that game. And they like rode around on the Zamboni.
Nice.
So
what's up with those dudes? I don't get why it's such a big deal.
It was extremely packed. They both have like a couple million followers, and they just travel the U.S. and talk about it from like a British point of view. Yeah, it's
like we should be
upset because they're more famous than you. Let's go to a
cool country. Yeah, don't be upset.
I'm not upset. I'm just like, I don't get why.
Justin's upset. He's cranky.
I don't know who they are.
Better than he is.
It's because you're old, dude. Because you're old.
It might be because I'm old.
We should do that, though. Anyways. We should just go to another country. Like, you know, go to Australia.
This is your country, dude?
Be like, hey, anybody got any, like, pasties around here or anything? You know?
I was cracking up. They're just straight up spreading misinformation, too, because there's a... their latest video, they're in the tip of the Keweenaw, the end of US 41. They're like, oh, look, this is where the road ends. And then that little two track right there, they're like, that leads into Canada. Like, you guys are idiots. That leads to the tip of the Keweenaw. And then there's a big fucking lake between Michigan and Canada. Whatever. No, so, anyways, after the game, we obviously go back to our hotel and whatnot next morning, get our breakfast, and we're like, oh, I don't know, should we go out to this thing or not? Because last night was just bitter cold. We don't know if we can make it, right? And Brooke's dad and I basically decide that we're going to go do it. We're going to leave Brooke and her mom back at the hotel, and then Brooke's younger brother and aunt and uncle and three cousins, they didn't go either. Like, they all stayed back. They went to an NMU basketball game, right? Or, like, out to lunch or something. So, Tim and I, we head out to this place, the Eben Ice Caves, and we get there. We're throwing our Carhartt bibs on. We got our jackets on. We got to throw our hats and gloves on. We're like, where's the hat and gloves? Well, Brooke's mom took them into the hotel. And they got left in the hotel. So we didn't have any hats and gloves, and it's -3 out.
That's a decent walk to get back there, too.
Yeah. Well, no. We didn't walk back there yet. Like, we were just at the parking lot. We were just at the parking lot getting dressed for the hike, right? So, and it's -3 out. We're like, there's no way we're not. Yeah, there's no way we're not doing gloves because, like, everything online says you need ice grips, and we don't have those. We're like, we're definitely going to fall at least once, and I'm not keeping my hands in my pockets when I fall, right? You're going to break some.
Yep.
So we go drive over to this tiny little town, like, 10 minutes away. We managed to find some actually decently nice Kinko gloves and head back, throw those on, make the hike in. It's, like, a 1.25-mile hike. And the first mile is actually pretty easy. Like, it's flat through fields and trees and stuff. And then the last quarter mile is just straight down, straight up, straight down, straight up. Like, extreme hills that are packed snow. It's slippery as shit. And I was running around like, I was just fine. I'm used to that. So I'm running all over the place. I finally get up to the top and I get to the ice caves. Like, they look really cool. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to hike up to the top of this hill and get a picture. So I hike up to the top, get some pictures. And then I'm like, all right, time to head down, because I see Brooke's dad's finally getting there to the caves. And I took one step to head down this hill, immediately ate shit and slid all the way down on my ass. And then,
oh God.
Yeah. So then I go actually into the caves and I'm like walking around and all I've got on are muck boots. Like, I don't have any grips. And
yep.
So I get in there and it's really cool in there. Like, so for the listeners, basically what happens is there's this huge cliff and the snow melt, it's the perfect combination of melting snow and then cold weather that causes these, like, the water runoff to come over the edge of this cliff, and it creates this huge, basically, wall of ice that forms a cave. So,
yep.
And then the cliff cool. also, like, cool. it juts out a little bit, too, so you can actually go back behind it and, like, under some of the ice, and, like, you're walking around, and there's these huge daggers hanging off the rock that, like, you look up and they're right over top of you.
So what's that? What's that fall. Formation called?
Inside stalactite and stalagmite.
Yes.
Yeah.
There were both.
But it's just made out of ice instead of rock.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there were both.
I went there in the spring.
It's kind of cool.
I went there in the spring one time when everything was thawing.
Yeah,
and that was super cool.
Probably a little sketchy.
A little sketchy. Like, you couldn't really walk in there. And it was dead. So I don't know if there was a bunch of people when you went, Jared, but when I went,
we were surprised. It said in like January, February, it's packed on weekends. And we're like, it's negative three out. There's not going to be anyone. And surprisingly, the parking lot was decently full.
Wow.
Like, there's actually a decent amount of people. But yeah, I was walking around in there and whatnot. And I got in and I'm looking at all this ice and whatnot and like trying not to bump any of it so none of it falls. And I am sneaking around between some of the walls because there's like inner walls inside the cave. And I slipped, tipped over, and then slid right into one of them. I'm waiting for this thing to topple over right on top of me. It didn't, luckily. But I think I like tipped over twice in the cave as well. Like, it's definitely, when it says bring ice grips, you definitely should wear them if you have them.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Because it was extremely slippery. And we also, we slipped and had to slide around on our butts to get out of there as well.
That sounds like a fun experience, despite the cold and everything.
Yeah, definitely. It was definitely worth the hike. I mean, I was sweating on the way out, like, even in the negative weather.
That's cool. I've gone out on like the frozen lake before, and when we have like some of that freestyle winter and you get those bigger, they're like ice snowbanks basically out on the lake,
yeah,
you know, from like drifting and whatnot. But I've never done anything like that. I was in Mackinac one time for like their winter festival thing, whatever they call that.
Was it the Clear Blue Ice Festival or something?
I'm not sure what it was, as I was really little, but they had like a giant, it was probably like a 6 foot tall cube that they spray painted dots on and made like a big dice looking deal. And there were guys like, they made cornhole out of ice and snow and like just dumb stuff like sculptures basically is some of what that was. But I was really little for that. I don't really remember what that was all about, but I've never been up there to the ice caves. I know some people that have, so it seems kind of cool.
It's pretty cool. It's worth it. I don't think it's worth it to go up just for that, but if you're in the area,
yeah,
it's worth checking out for sure.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. The UP's so weird, dude. It's like, you know, culturally, a lot of it's very similar to Michigan, especially like in the bigger city area, like in Marquette, you know, if you're sitting down like the B-dubs and it's like, okay, yeah, this is just
normal.
You know, it's normal. But there are areas of the UP that do not feel anything like Michigan It feels like a completely different place entirely.
It's like where when I went out bear hunting, there's that little town. I think it was called Trout Creek, Western UP.
Yeah, there's nothing over there.
Nothing over there. It felt so different. Yeah. And I mean, a tiny little town. I mean, they had to go to Wisconsin for their groceries.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Dude. And it was like an hour. Like, yeah. It was a freaking drive. And there's just like the people are different. Everyone's got an accent. Like, it just felt so different.
Yeah.
I remember talking. I can't remember what year that was. 2017. So the dude was talking about like their voter turnout because we were talking about voting or whatever.
175 people.
No, he was like, oh yeah, you know we had a pretty good turnout this year, and he says 75 people showed up. And I was like, 75? Like, I was like, yeah. And he's like, yeah, it's like 95%.
Yeah,
like,
that's crazy.
Damn, dude, like
small town.
No one here.
Yep.
But they had a post office and two bars.
Yep.
That was it.
Maybe a church.
I don't think they had that.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It was literally just a post office and two bars.
Yeah.
And the bars were just, it's like, it was almost like little gangs. It's like you either went to one bar or the other bar. Like,
yeah.
It was like, fuck those guys across the street.
Yeah, right.
it was wild.
No bar hopping there.
No,
there's
no
bar hopping. I was cracking up. Justin, you said you've been to the Even Ice Case?
Yeah, I've been there twice. One time in the winter and one time in the spring.
So you remember, like, as you're coming in, there's that school right there, and then there's a bar right across from the school?
Yeah.
That was cracking me up. I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah,
total funny. UP.
Oh, yeah.
Teachers get done,
and they go to the bar, send the kids home.
Give me a beer, bud.
Yeah, it's...
The UP is such a cool place, man. Like, I wish the deer hunting was better up there, because I'd probably spend a lot more time up there.
It would be cool. The thing I don't like about it is everything, like, there's a ton of cool stuff to do in the UP, but it's all spread way out.
Well, it's the same with the Lower Peninsula. There's a bunch of shit to do down here. It's all spread way out.
I mean, kind of, but you can pick a town. Like, you could go to a town for the weekend. If you want to go and, like, go to a UP town for the weekend, there's one or two things to do for, like, tourist attractions and stuff. Like,
My thought process was like, you could go, you could drive up to the Sioux, go see the locks, drive to fucking Tequamanon, hang out there for a little bit, go to Marquette. There's a bunch of hiking to do in Marquette, go up to the Keweenaw. You know what I mean? Like, there's a bunch of stuff to do, but it is spread out.
Yeah. It's got to be at least an extended weekend.
Yeah.
You know, to do.
Especially if I see a couple things.
Right.
And just even for us, living in the, forget driving from like Ohio or Indiana or something like that.
Right.
Even for like from here to the Keweenaw is all of 6 hours. You know what I'm saying? Maybe seven.
It's more depending on where you're going. I feel like it's seven or eight.
Jared could probably tell us.
I think it's six to Marquette.
Yeah. It's 6.5 from TC to Houghton.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
That's driving like Jared, so it's probably about more like seven.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it took us, it was 3.5 or 4 hours from Petoskey to Marquette. And then there's another 2 hours driving from Marquette to Houghton. So, and then you got another hour after Houghton to get up to Copper Harbor.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
you know, what sucks about there is like there's no expressway up there. So you can go 60. That's it.
Yeah.
People do 75, 80 mile an hour, but you're not really supposed to.
I think most of the speed limits are 65 until you get, I think once you get past Marquette, it kind of drops back down to 55.
I remember that stretch from like.
The Cini stretch?
I don't even, like, the. No. Because we had, when we were doing some work up there on the Circle case, and it was like, it was like the base of the Keweenaw. We had a stop over there somewhere. Maybe we just stopped for fuel or something like that. But basically from like the base of the Keweenaw until we got to Iron Mountain, it was all like 45 to 55 mile an hour zones. And it was just nothing. I think it was a gas stop because it was basically like this is the last place to stop for gas until we get to Iron Mountain.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing, literally nothing.
I almost ran out of gas up there once.
Yeah.
I went to, there was this one gas station. I think it was right before the Sini stretch. And I was heading up to Marquette. And I was like, oh, I'll get gas here. Well, I freaking got to that gas station. It was closed. And it was like, I was running on fumes. Yeah. And like, good thing I had my mom's Honda. So it was good on gas. But I remember my gas light came on. I was like, I'm not going to make it.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you're not.
Good news is UP and, you know, Midwest hospitality, somebody probably would have stopped and given you fuel.
Oh, yeah. It would have been all right. But I was by myself, which would suck.
Fun little
work, I think.
Fun little UP fact for our listeners. I learned this one from Brooke's dad. You guys know why the Sini stretch is so straight and flat?
No.
No? So next time you go up there, pay attention to how wide the shoulder is cut back, like the trees. Like it's, if you remember, it's super far back. Like it's cut really wide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The reason for that is because Marquette, there used to be an Air Force base. And like a really busy one. There's not anymore. But they basically made that strip of road like that in case they ever have to land the B-52 bombers.
Damn.
On the road.
Really?
Yeah. So that their wings wouldn't.
I have heard that.
They cut it back really far. And that's why it's like a nice straight flat section they can use as a landing and takeoff strip.
I have heard that in certain areas, like bigger cities, or you know, if places have like a big road or whatever, they'll make sure to leave like a mile where there's no overhead power lines. Like they'll keep the power lines to one side and nothing crosses the street for that distance in case you have to land a plane. I didn't know that about Marquette, but yeah, I have heard that before, not specifically to B-2 bomber, but just planes in general. Like if they had to land it, which happens all the time. All the time. It's happened before where planes will have like an emergency landing on the expressway somewhere.
Yeah.
And they just like.
See the videos of that. It's pretty cool.
It would be pretty scary, but.
Oh,
at least it didn't crash, you know?
Yeah.
And what do you do? Like, what are you going to trailer?
Some GTA shit. Like, you're driving along, and all of a sudden there's a plane that lands behind you.
But what do you do?
What I mean?
What would you do with the plane? You put it on a fucking trailer? Are you going to take off again on the expressway and fly to another airport? Like,
probably. Yeah, I don't know.
You have an emergency landing for some reason. Do you fix the plane and then have it fly somewhere else? Or do you put it on a big-ass trailer and just, like, tow it behind you?
That's a great question.
We're living in a simulation.
Yeah. The plane despawns.
What happens to the plane? Nobody knows.
It's like GTA. It just goes away after you
just
don't look at it.
So like after your stars go away.
You just shoot it a couple times and it blows up and goes away.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Got to go back to your garage and get it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's cool, man. I mean,
I need to get up to the UP again. I haven't been up there in a while.
It's such a cool place to explore, and like relatively speaking, we live so close to that stuff. I'd love to go back to some places that I was as a kid. Like, I mean, I've been to Tequamanon 2 or 3 times already. I'd go back again.
Yeah,
it's just a cool place to hang out. That one's really touristy because it's really popular.
There's the one so that's western. People. It's like Agate Falls or something like that.
Yeah.
That's a lot better than Tequamanon.
It's a lot bigger.
It's a lot bigger. Way less people.
Yeah.
The problem is it's freaking in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. And it's kind of a hike to go see it too. Tequamanon, you walk 50 yards.
This one, the parking lot. This one wasn't a hike. The one I'm talking about. You drive pretty much right up to it.
Maybe we're thinking of different ones.
Maybe. There's a lot of waterfalls. I remember coming back from Marquette one time. Me and my family stopped and hit all the waterfalls on the way.
And Jared probably knows this one. I'm thinking of there's some waterfalls that my family went to up in the Keweenaw.
Mm.
And Tequamanon, but it was, it was a hike to get over there.
Yeah. We hit all these waterfalls and it took us like 12 hours to get home because we kept on stopping at all these little waterfalls and stuff. And it was super cool.
Yeah.
It's probably either the two big ones up there is Hungarian Falls. It's really easy to get to, but it is a bit of a hike. And it's a decent size. And then the other one, I think it's a little bit less of a hike, but still a hike. And it's also the largest waterfalls in Michigan, like tallest. And they're huge, but it doesn't have a high water flow like the Quaminon. Is the Douglas Falls.
Yeah.
And there's like a little spring. It's not even a waterfall. It's like a spring in the side of a hill. That's over by the Jam Pot, Jared. I don't know
if you
know
what I'm Jacob's talking Falls? About. Yeah, that's Jacob's Falls.
I think
Falls.
That's what it is. It's not really like a waterfall like you're thinking.
It is a waterfall. If you hike up it far enough, you can actually find the river.
Oh, and really?
That one.
There's more sheer drops if you hike up it. Yeah, the section right by the road is kind of just looks like water trickling over a rock. But if you hike up further, there's more water and it's cooler.
The one that I went to, I hiked all around because I was just burning time. I was up there bear hunting and I already got my bear. My dad was still hunting, so I was just kind of messing around and going to see some different stuff. And I went and I hiked kind of off the trails. Like there was a little trail, but it was almost like a little single track, just like walking trail.
Yeah.
And I hiked all the way around this thing and ended up, I was like, oh, I wonder if I can get to, there was a dam at the top of it in front of a, you know, a lake or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like, I wonder if I can get up there. So I kind of went and was just kind of exploring around or whatever. And, you know, it probably took me a good half hour, 45 minutes to get to the, you know, where I was going.
It's just thick.
And I got up to the dam. Yeah. And it was just like, it was, just took a while because it was a long trail. So I went all the way around the falls and then I found a little bridge to go over like the river.
Oh, okay.
And then went over to the other side and I'm just kind of like going back up the other side. And I got a little bit closer to the dam and I saw a sign. And I think it was on the other side of the river. I just never saw it, or on the other side of the falls.
Yeah.
But I saw a sign that it was like, oh, you know, when the buzzer goes off, you have 10 minutes and that dam's going to open up or whatever. So like every once in a while, they open up that dam and let a bunch of water out.
Yeah.
And it said like a time. It was like 10, 15 minutes or whatever it was. But it was like, if you hear the buzzer, get out of there, like evacuate the area. And then I started looking around. You could see where the water level was when they did that.
Yeah.
Not where I wanted to be. And I was like, oh shit. Like they didn't do anything or whatever, but I was like, I should probably not be here because it took me a lot longer than 15 minutes to get here.
Just here. I wonder what that's about.
Yeah.
Get swept away by water.
Right. It was like, it'd be not good. But I turned around. I was like, I'm probably not supposed to be over here.
Yeah.
Probably it was really cool though. You could walk. They didn't have like, you know, like Tequamanon. Mm-hmm. They kind of have it like fenced off or not fenced off, but like.
It's like paved in some areas.
Yeah. You can't walk out onto like this. You could just walk out on the fall. Like you could get in it if you wanted to.
Oh yeah. I've been to some that,
I was like, I've
been to a few places like that where it was just like.
I had my muck boots on. So I was out like standing on the rocks and stuff.
Super slippery.
Oh, super slippery. But I was like, I want to get like some cool pictures and video. I did like slow motion videos and stuff. And it was like, you could just jump off if you wanted to. It was like, no.
Yeah.
No. It was cool. It was really cool.
It's cool because it feels so secluded. You know what I'm saying? Like you. And I've said this a lot, and certain people don't agree with me or whatever, but like there are parts of the UP that make me feel like I'm in Alaska.
Oh, yeah.
It's just so remote, and it feels so different than anything else. Just like pure wilderness,
mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And you might only be 5 miles from a road, but it just feels so cool.
Yeah. That was what was cool about Isle Royale.
Oh, yeah.
Is it's sure. Just like pure untouched wilderness.
And that's like legit, like untouched wilderness.
Yeah. And like you got to walk there. Like you can't.
Yeah.
There's none of that. It was like, but a lot of the UP is kind of that same way.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's just cool to go to those places and whatnot. Like when I was bear hunting up there, it was like, man, like this stuff's so thick. Whatever. It was like, when's the last time someone was here? You know, who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, you know, we've talked a lot about that. You know, hunting and stuff too is like when you shot that big buck, You know what I'm saying? That thing was, you know, realistically probably four or five years old.
Yeah.
And that's the first time that anyone had ever put hands on that thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're the first human to touch that animal. And there are areas not so much of like, probably not so much in the UP or really even anywhere, but you know, where that you have that feeling where you're standing there. We talked about that when we were in Utah. There was a couple of places where like we weren't in some super remote areas, but just in like a weird spot for like where the trail was, because we'd get off the trail and we'd go explore somewhere else, and then you get up on this rock and you're kind of looking around or whatever. It's like, when was the last time a human being stood here?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I just think it's amazing though when you go to places like that. You'll be hiking through some hellhole or way back in the woods or whatever.
And then you find somebody there.
And then you don't find somebody. You find like there's like a friggin' old maple syrup jar or like some random. And it's like, what the hell is that guy doing? Yeah. Like, how did that get there?
Bush Light can from the 80s.
Yeah. And it's like, what?
Yeah.
But it always seems like, I mean, especially around here, no matter where you go, there's friggin' trash or something. It's like,
I remember doing a hike with my family. And we were just struggling to get, like, it was a tough hike. It wasn't like through thick brush or anything, but I remember it was relatively long. You know, it was probably like 3-4 miles, which is long with five, you know, with my family, that was a longer hike.
Yeah, right. I don't judge.
And then, but you know, it was steep. We're getting up, whatever. We're not seeing anybody around us. But we get up to the top, and we're seeing all these people pouring in. We just picked the wrong trail. Like, there was another trail that looped, and it was only, like, a mile and a half, 2 miles, and it was super, like, you know, gradual, whatever. We just picked the wrong, the steep one, the harder one. Right. I think that was in Tennessee. We were hiking somewhere. Mm-hmm. But we get up to the top to, like, this overlook or whatever, and ironically, I think it was part of a waterfall. And we just looked around, and my mom was like, I think we picked the wrong trail.
There's a spot like that in the Jordan River Valley.
Yeah.
There's a campground that you used to have to hike to.
Yeah.
And it was like 12 miles.
Damn.
And it's like halfway through the loop. And you could only get there by hiking.
Now you can drive.
But I didn't know that. You know, it's just a new thing or whatever. But I remember I did a hike there once or whatever. And I wasn't staying. I was doing the whole loop. But I got there. You know, I think I had lunch or whatever. And there was like a whole family with all this camping stuff and whatever, like coolers.
Bunch of little kids.
Yeah. And I was like, how the hell? Like, what? Like, do they carry that shit in? Like, there's no way. And then, you know, when I left, I went through the loop and there's a bunch of cars. And it's like a, you know, maybe.
It's like a state park now.
Yeah. It's like a 200-yard walk. Like, you still have to walk a little bit. But I was like, oh, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, it used to be only, you know, you had to hike in.
I refuse to. And Jared might have a different opinion on this, but I refuse to camp in places. Like, if I'm going to go for a long camping trip, I refuse to camp somewhere where you can, like, bring your camper and fucking six coolers and your quads and bikes.
It depends what you're doing. Like, you go to, like I've camped a couple years ago. I camped up in Boyne City at one of those, you know, campgrounds. There's RVs. There's whatever.
Well, you probably had your kid.
Yeah, you know, and you set up camp for the week and whatever, and like, or weekend or whatever.
KOA or something?
No, it's just one of those state parks. But like, if you're doing that, like, it's, you're not backpacking. You're not like.
Maybe that's what I like more is you're backpacking not, as opposed to
camping. Oh, for sure.
Camping.
It's way better. Like, I mean, because I don't like people. Like, I don't want to listen to some freaking guy's kids cry all night and.
Or somebody's music.
Yeah, or someone's music. There's, you know, a group of college kids.
I don't know. There's a time and a place for it. Because, like, I went to Jared's family's campground that one year for 4th of July. I mean, this celebration where, like, playing cornhole and drinking or whatever. And, like, that's fun.
It's just a different experience. You just got to know, like, you're not, like, when I go camping, I want to go camping.
I want to sleep in a tent.
It's still camping, like, but it's just a different sort of camping.
That's glamping, for sure.
It's glamping. But you know, whatever.
I like sleeping in a hammock and people are like, I don't know how you're comfortable in that thing.
I
don't know how you're comfortable just hanging out in you're basically in a, Like, you got a queen size bed you're sleeping in, bro.
Yeah. I don't know.
Memory foam mattress and shit. Like,
yeah, there's a TV.
Like, what the fuck? Yeah, I went camping, except I stayed in the camper all weekend and watched TV.
Yeah. But, hey, if that's what you're into, go for it. I don't care. You can.
Sounds like a waste of money.
It. I mean, to me, yeah. 100%. Especially with the price of campers. Jesus Christ, you can buy a house. Well, you just buy another house.
Brother, the houses I'm looking at are basically campers.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what to tell you. No, I mean, I don't know. There's certain... Because I like my luxuries while I'm camping, too. The biggest one is my phone. I like having my phone.
Yeah.
And, you know, to be able to take pictures, to be able to just, like, just during downtime, like, you know, we're eating food around the campfire and, like, nothing's really going on. It's like, maybe I just want to scroll Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I want to, you know, maybe I got to look something up and, yeah, like, hey, how far is this hiking trail?
How to build a fire.
Right. How to set up my hammock. Is this poison ivy?
Yeah.
No, but
put it in a chat GPT.
You know, a lot of that, like when we were in Utah, because we were like more car camping. We've talked about that quite a bit. But
yeah.
A lot of that was looking up like, oh, how long's this loop? And like, if we do this, we stay here for this long, like how far to get to this other place? And all of that you could do without having your phone. It would take a lot longer planning on the front end. You wouldn't be able to do it there.
Yeah.
So you'd have to have a map. And then you'd have to have, like, you know, a ruler to properly, like, scale how many miles it is to this other, you know, hiking trail or right. this other
What I did on when I went to Isle Royal, I mapped it all out on Onyx.
Yeah, but how big is Isle Royal? How many acres?
Oh, I don't know. It's 50 miles across it.
Like, the loop's 50 miles? Or no, straight across?
Straight across.
Okay.
From one end to another. It's a little over 50 miles. It's a pretty big island. But I just went on Onyx and like I knew where we were going because I planned it all out and I just did line segments.
Yeah.
So I was like, I know from this campground to this campground, it's this long. So I just kind of knew that stuff or whatever, but it was a lot of planning.
What was your longest hike?
Per day?
Yeah.
I think like 12 miles.
Okay. That's not that bad.
No, it wasn't bad.
I could do 12 miles.
Yeah. The first leg that we did or the first day, was definitely the hardest, and I think that was only 8, but it was really hard hiking. And then after that, it kind of leveled out and wasn't super bad comparatively. But that first day we got there and we're like, oh fuck, this is
gonna be rough. Above 12 miles for me. I mean, you had all your gear on too, which is a little bit different, but like, yeah, if I
had about 45, 50 pounds,
if I get above 10 miles, I start really not being motivated to like I'm not somebody who could do 25 miles in a day.
Yeah.
I'd have to, unless it was my only option. Like we have to get to, because you're hiking so fast.
Right. I like doing it. And 25 is not bad. Like you can do that in 8 hours.
Yeah, but you got to hike fast.
Not really. Like three and a half miles an hour.
I mean, I guess you're not stopping. You know, you might stop, eat lunch or whatever, but like you're not stopping to look at anything.
No, you kind of gotta keep moving. You're just hiking. I mean, you stop a little bit or whatever, but that's why like some of the stuff, like we had one day that was only 4 miles.
Yeah.
So it's like we had a ton of time just to fuck around and do whatever. And that was pretty cool.
Plus you do 10 miles or 12 miles or whatever. It's going to take 3-4 miles just to get the lactic acid out of your legs. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think the first 2 miles are the hardest.
Yeah.
And then once
right, that's what I'm saying. Just to loosen back up.
Yeah, once you kind of get in the groove and whatever, and it's not bad. I like hiking those longer distances. I think it's fun. I really want to hike from Kalkaska to Fife Lake. It's about 30 miles. And I really
do it in one day?
Mm-hmm.
It's a push.
Yeah. You'd have to start it, you know, in the morning and go till dark, probably.
We should do it in the summer.
Yeah, I've been wanting to do it for a couple years now, but like I got to train for it.
You just through hike it?
Yeah.
So you don't need a whole, you know, you'd have 15 pounds worth of gear. Because you'd bring some food.
Yeah.
You'd bring some food, water.
But you can bring your filter too. So there's a bunch of, I mean, around here there's rivers and freaking puddles everywhere. So You don't even.
But you know, you probably want your stove if you're going to cook something.
Mm-hmm.
I guess if it's in the summertime, you might not cook it. You might just pack a sandwich or something. But depends on how you do it.
Yeah, I mean, I would guess you'd probably have 20 pounds worth of stuff,
especially if you're using a frame pack.
Right. When I've done those 24 mile hikes or whatever, I usually have about 20 pounds.
We could do that. You start in the morning. You throw your gaiters on because you have dew in the morning most likely. Mm-hmm. So you throw your gaiters on. Start hiking. You stop at say 8 o'clock. Maybe get some water, get a protein bar or something. Put your gaiters away once things kind of dried out.
I stop for snacks
and then keep busting ass, hike till about 1 o'clock, eat some lunch, and then I mean, I don't know, 3 miles an hour for 30 miles. So 10 hours of hiking.
Yeah, it'd be an all day event, but it'd be fun. And there's a lot of cool stuff. Like, it's just
Dude, honestly, if you went nonstop in the summertime for 10 hours, you might not be hiking in the dark.
No, I don't think you would have to. You wouldn't have to hike in the dark.
If you started at 7 in the morning.
But even hiking in the dark's not bad.
If you have a headlight and shit.
Yeah.
If you're prepared to hike in the dark.
I didn't. I fucked up once. And I don't remember how long that hike was, but I miscalculated. And I hiked for 3 hours in the dark. And it wasn't bad, but I didn't have my headlamp. I just had a flashlight. And the amount of spiders that are out there.
Where?
That was in the Jordan River Valley. But the coyotes started ripping, which was cool. Like, I thought it was cool.
Do you have your 44 Magnum?
No, I didn't have anything. I might have had my 9. I don't remember.
See,
because I usually hike with it. But I remember being at, pointing the flashlight just out in the woods.
Yeah.
And you could see all these little reflections. And I was like, what are those? Like, it looks like eyes. Like, it looks like that. Yeah. But I was like, maybe it's like dew, whatever.
Spiders.
It was spiders.
Yeah.
Like, I went up to one. And I was like, oh, fuck, that's a spider. And then I started looking at everyone.
And you don't like spiders.
No. So I was like,
arachnophobia.
I don't really like that.
So how do you feel about this? Like, if you were going to hike, probably not so much around here, like in this area, but if you were going to go hike Jordan River,
mm-hmm.
for me, definitely in the UP, because you got wolves and mountain lions, no matter how much
I never carry for animals. It's always, it's the two-legged things that freak me out.
You wouldn't carry for wolves in the UP?
No. I'm not worried about that.
I don't know, dude.
They're not.
Jared, what do you think?
They're not going to mess with you.
If you got food and shit with you, you don't think they're going to mess with you?
No. I mean, there is...
Or a mountain lion?
Mountain lions are scary. I would carry for mountain lions.
Jared, would you carry for animals?
But there's so few around here. Like, it's like...
That's what I'm saying. Not around here.
I mean, the odds... But, I mean, even in the UP, there's not a ton. The odds are so low.
Oh, I think Jared left. He just disconnected.
Did he have to make dinner?
I don't know what he did. He just disconnected. He's been having his internet issues, so.
Yeah, I don't know.
Sorry for that. Hopefully he'll be in the studio for the next one.
He should be. But just the probability is so low. And I mean, I usually carry anyways.
The other point to this, and part of it, I also just like carrying my gun in the woods.
It makes you warm and fuzzy inside.
Yeah. You know, you get a little bored, as long as you're doing so safely, preface it by saying that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
a couple desk pops.
Yeah, a couple desk pops, bud. But that, I don't know. That's just me. And I'm not carrying a 44 mag, but I would for sure carry my 9 for, whatever. Most of the time alone, especially, if we had a big group of, if the three of us were hiking pretty much anywhere in the UP, I probably still would just, because again, I like to do it. But even you and I, we go hike Jordan River. I might not carry.
Yeah.
Because with two people, unless we come across a gang in the woods, there's not really much that's going to fuck with us. But
the Jordan River acorn gang.
Yeah, right. But when you're hiking alone, you come. Okay. It's rare that you come across an animal that wants to do harm to you. But, you meet the one mountain lion in that area, in the lower peninsula. And you twisted your ankle, your phone's dead, or you don't have cell reception, so you're limping yourself back to your vehicle. Now what? You don't have your gun on you. What are you going to do? You're going to fight a mountain lion by hand?
Oh, you're cooked.
You're fucked.
There's no way.
Even a bobcat, dude. Oh. Bobcat's not a house cat. Like, they still weigh like 50 pounds.
Right. Even a house cat. Like, a house cat will fuck you up.
The right house cat.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you were quick enough, you could, and you could just grab its body and slam its head against a rock with a house cat, maybe. And even maybe
right,
with
you got good odds against a bobcat or a house cat. But still, like, it's not going to be fun.
I bet you got a 75-25% chance that you win against a house cat if you're, like, fucked up.
Yeah.
You know, if you got a broken ankle or something.
Right.
Bobcat, 50-50 shot. Right, you might, you know, you pull a knife or something.
Right.
Maybe you're all right.
And, like, just, like, that thing wants to kill you.
Yeah. Mountain lion, you got, like, a negative 300% chance.
Yeah.
You're fucked.
There's
no
chance. You're done.
Think about that. Think about how terrible of a death that would be.
Oh, yeah. Getting mauled by a mountain lion.
Getting mauled by anything. Eaten alive.
Yeah. That's why Komodo dragons are so scary.
Yeah.
Those things are terrifying.
And you don't die immediately.
No, you just get paralyzed. Their venom paralyzes you.
Yeah, but you have to run around for a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, 15 minutes and it's just trailing you.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, I'm safe. Boom. All of a sudden, guess what? I can't feel my legs, Lieutenant Dan.
Yeah. And then the thing's just going to eat you.
Yep. Yep. You probably can't feel anything, so there's that.
No, you can still feel stuff.
You just can't move. Yeah.
You just can't move. You can't move. So the thing's just starting at your feet like, ugh, no.
Yeah.
Komodo dragons. Scary.
What do you think you're most afraid of in the woods?
Around here?
In general.
Just anywhere? I mean, if I was in a spot for grizzly bears, I think grizzly bears would be up there.
What's crazy is more people die from moose than grizzlies in Alaska.
Yeah.
I'm still more afraid of a brown bear than I am a moose.
They're just not intimidating. I mean, they're intimidating, but like they're just not scary looking.
Right. In your head,
right,
you're not intimidated by it because they don't have like the teeth and the claws, whatever. But if you had a bull moose right in front of you, I'm sure you'd be fucking terrified.
Oh, yeah. I think he's going to stomp you.
I think the other thing for me, too, is like if I'm in the woods, I feel like I have better odds. Not that moose are not fast, but they're so big. I think I have better odds against a moose going tree to tree, trying to get away with it and hoping the thing just gets bored or confused.
Yeah.
You could also climb a tree with a moose and, you know, as long as you can stay up in the tree and it doesn't ram the thing over, you're good. But with a grizzly bear, I don't know if grizzlies usually climb trees. I know cubs do.
I don't think so.
I think it'd probably be rare for a full-size grizzly to climb a tree, but also like...
I think the thing with the grizzly is you're going to surprise it and all of a sudden it's going to be there.
Yeah, and it can move 40 mile an hour.
Right.
And it's going like, to fuck you up. Yeah,
you meant like the teeth snapping. And I've listened to a bunch of podcasts on like grizzly bear attack survivors and stuff. Dude, it is scary.
And like the claws.
The noises they make, the claw. Like
so I have a bear claw.
Oh, God.
I have a bear claw. Have you ever been to Oswald's? Bear
no.
Zoo?
No.
I forget where that's at.
It's in the UP.
But you never been there?
No.
So they...
I don't like to participate in that stuff. I don't know. I get weird about it.
I don't know how they got there, whatever, but I've been there before.
Yeah.
They're there, whatever.
It's just so touristy. It's just like...
I was very...
Oh, look, a bear. Like, I just like, yeah.
I was a little bit younger, too. I think I was probably 10, maybe 12. And, you know, I'm feeding the little bear cub jelly or whatever. And, like, it's like, oh, you're with this bear cub or whatever. I'm like, yeah, this thing decides to bite my hand instead of the spoon. Like, I'm still going to lose a finger.
Yeah.
You know? And then they've
it's
got...
Like you see those guys wrestling bears?
Yeah, the Russians.
In like Russia
crazy
and stuff.
Fucks.
Yeah, they're like little tiny bears.
Yeah.
And, I mean, bears are freaking strong.
But my point is, they sell... And I think they're real from like the bears that die or if they lose a claw or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They sell black bear claws. And they're fucking 3.5-4 inches long.
Yeah.
From black bear. So think about how much bigger a brown bear is. Yeah, you got one right there.
Yeah.
And... Admittedly, not a giant black bear.
No, it's an average Michigan black bear. It's perfectly average.
So if you're from, you know, the West in Montana, this is a 200-pound black bear as opposed to a 600-pound black bear. Yeah. But still, even more so, think about how much bigger, you know, average grizzly is, what, 8.5 feet, something like that? 8-9 feet?
I don't know.
And 800 pounds, 900 pounds, right?
Yeah.
Big, they're a lot bigger is my point. So think about how much bigger those claws are.
Oh, yeah. And their teeth and everything. Yeah. Like, they can fit your head in their mouth. Mm-hmm. No problem.
And probably crush your head their bite force. And yeah, really not try.
No. There was this one podcast I was listening to. I can't remember if it was Meat Eater or if it was...
Steve Rinella had a bad case with a grizzly, too.
Yeah. But there was one where this... I can't remember if it was a dude or if it was a lady now. But the bear put his head in his mouth and just squeezed a little bit and crushed his skull.
Yeah.
Just like crack. And he's like, I vividly remember that sound
of my old
like,
skull.
And he's like, that's my skull cracking.
Crushing.
And then the thing just let up and it was fine or whatever. The guy survived, but I was like, holy shit, man. Like,
Meat Eater's posted it a couple of times and so has Tom Miranda. There was a gentleman from like the 1800s. I can't remember what tribe he got into a fight with or whatever. It doesn't matter. He was scalped as a little boy. And he survived. And he had his scalp with his hair or whatever. He had it tanned.
What?
Yeah, so you see the picture of him.
And he kept it?
Yeah, you see the picture of him, and he's got like 2 inches of hair on the top of his, you know, right above his forehead at the very front of his hairline. And then it's just bare skull to like almost to his neckline. And then like, you know, basically the whole back of his head is scalped, but he's got hair like a ring basically around his head. And it was in a museum somewhere.
Really?
It's tanned. They tanned his fucking head.
Wow.
His skull cap basically.
Yeah. God damn.
But he survived. And like, think about that. Number one, I'm pretty sure it happened when he was a kid, like 10 years old or something like that.
Yeah.
So, obviously, terrifying, traumatizing event, right?
Yeah.
Then to survive that, and then you walk around and you're a fucking freak. People are like, what the fuck happened to you, dude? It's like, yeah.
I'm pretty sure everyone knows what happened to him.
A little off the top, and he took a lot off the top, you know?
Didn't have his guard set right.
Wasn't a very good, you know... Wasn't a very good barber. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of that. So I want to say it was somewhere in Texas. Comanche. I think it was Comanche.
Yeah.
You know.
Sounds right to me.
Told the Comanche barber, take a little off the top. He took the whole scalp. Saved on shampoo, though. So.
Well, I'm sure it's more of a pain in the ass to clean that.
Your bare skull?
Yeah, especially back then. What do you do? You know what I mean? Like, it's got to get...
What would that look like? Would you just have white bone?
What would it feel like? You know what I mean? Like, would that hurt? Like, if stuff... Like,
you don't have nerves in your... I don't think so. You don't have nerves in your bone.
I don't know.
Jared probably knows. True. He's gone, but he's probably... I'm going to laugh at us about this. You idiots. Yeah, you do.
Yeah, fine. I don't know.
But yeah, that'd be weird. Be a weird one. Dude survived, though.
Yeah.
Good on him.
It's tougher than we are.
Oh, yeah, dude.
We got it easy.
Yeah. Oh, here's another thing. You know why that little strip in the front was saved?
Uh-uh.
That's where they grab your head.
Oh, got to have something to hold on to.
Got to have something to hold on to.
Really? That's fucked up.
Yeah, bro. It's fucked up.
Yeah. I don't know.
And the people who did die from that, think about how fucking terrible of a death that would be. Your head's just on fire.
I can't comprehend what that would even feel like.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, I have no idea.
You're safe. They don't have anything to grab onto.
Yeah, I'd be good.
Yeah.
I'd be slipping, sliding. They're trying to grab me.
Probably just pull your aviators off and stab them through your eye or something.
Yeah.
We're so far off the trail from where we started. But
sorry, I'm coughing for the listeners. I could...
Coming down.
It's going away. It's getting better.
I'm going to drink a lot of vitamin C and take my medicines. I've been washing my hands every 5 minutes at work, so
That's always good.
But then there's that other part where it's like you don't want to be too clean, because then as soon as you do come in contact with germs, your immune system's weakened.
Yeah.
So
it's a happy balance. Got to lick a few doorknobs, but not too many. Doorknobs.
Yeah, I'm more of a window licker.
That makes sense.
You know?
Yeah.
It's not my fault. Windex tastes like blue raz, buddy. Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Well, I think we can wrap this up, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of we're all over the place, but some fun winter activities from Jared and, you know, kind of.
It's the off season. These things kind of get a little random every now and then.
Yeah, it's good to talk about something that's not bow hunting and tack and, you know.
So I shot my bow the other day.
Yeah. Which I almost wanted to shoot trad bows today, but it was still just too cold.
It's too cold. We'd have to go indoor. We got to plan an indoor trip.
And I'm also kind of worried about, like, not even for me. I just don't know how the trad bow is going to react in the cold. Probably
it'd
be fine.
It'd be fine.
But
it'd be fine. You got a good, like, if it was something like old, like an old vintage bow, I might want to, like, you know, throw it out in the garage or something for a day.
Climatize.
Right. And just let it kind of, you know, you don't want to go from 70 degrees inside your house to negative 20.
Yeah.
You know, but.
Yeah, but that's fiberglass limbs and, or at least reinforced, I think. I don't think that's all laminated wood.
Old ones are still laminated with fiberglass and whatnot.
Even like that Montana or whatever that's in there?
Yeah, that's all fiberglass. The ones that were not fiberglass are blown up by now.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even like self bows, when you make it like a self bow, it's got a life. Like you only have so many shots.
That'd be terrifying. Get to full draw and your bow blows up.
Mm-hmm. Did I tell you about that first bear that I got? That blew
started
up.
Started cracking?
No, it like I strung it. And went to pull it back the first time, and a freaking top limb exploded.
No safety glasses?
No, I got it out of the package, and I was like, sweet. It was my first bear bow. I was like, hell yeah. Like, I was like,
starting. It was obviously an old one.
It was an old one. It was like it was actually a Kodiak Hunter, probably from the 70s. And that was fiberglass and everything, too. And I don't know what happened. It was just, this dude was a collector, never shot it, never strung it, whatever. Had a string with it. And I strung it. I got to like half draw, and the thing freaking, boom. I was so sad.
How much you spend on it?
It was a couple $100, and the guy gave me my money back.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, he was a cool dude. He was like, hey, like, you know, I never strung it. I never shot it. I didn't know that was gonna happen. I was like, yeah, fucking me neither. And
it's cool of him.
Yeah, I sent him.
He could have just been like, fuck you.
Right, and I sent him the bow back. And I was like, you can do whatever you want. Like, he's like, well, can I have it back? You know, well, maybe make something out of it or whatever. And I was like, yep, no problem. Like, he was a cool dude.
Yeah, that's good. That community
is
a lot different. Because if that was a compound, then most people would just been like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Like, whatever.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, they're cool guys.
Trad guys, way cooler.
Way cooler. Most of the time.
So. Pick up a trad bow, put down the fucking crossbow. There, I said it. We got it into this episode.
Yeah.
Fuck the crossbow, guys. You have something. No, we don't need to get into that. Justin has something against women shooting crossbows, too.
I just don't think anyone should. If you're able-bodied, I don't think you should shoot a crossbow. Because you can get a 40-pound compound, and you're good. I don't think everyone should shoot a trad bow.
It takes a special kind of woman to dedicate that much time.
But even with a compound, you don't have to dedicate that much time. You want a bow hunt, shoot a bow. You don't want a bow hunt, buy a rifle.
Well, they do want a bow hunt, but they also want to shoot a rifle,
right?
Which is why they shoot a crossbow.
Yeah, right. You want to go deer hunting when it's, you know, 60 degrees out.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I don't care that much. Just a little
clearly.
Bit. I just think it's dumb. Shoot a bow. You want to go bow hunt? Shoot a bow.
Shoot a bow.
Because you can kill a deer with a 40-pound compound all day long. It's not a question of lethality or.
Well, it is, to an extent. You're only shooting 20. Do not shoot past 25 yards with a 40-pound.
Right. You have limitations.
Yeah.
You know, it's what bow hunting's all about.
Right, but you're talking about somebody who shoots deer at 60 yards with a crossbow, telling them now you can only shoot 25. because you've got a vertical bow.
That's why we bow hunt. Like
that's why you and I bow hunt.
Right.
Yeah. But I'm just to convey that to somebody.
No, I know. You know. I know. I get it. It's easy. It's the yeah.
I will say, way more impressive is I know a couple of women that have dedicated the time to actually bow hunt, and it's way more impressive to do it with a vertical bow than a crossbow. So there's that. Anyway, we're going to wrap this up here. Jared has disconnected because of his connection. So he better be in studio for the next one. Make things a lot easier. But we'll figure it out.
We'll see.
So, yeah, we still got some exciting things to come. If you appreciate the show, feel free to leave a like or a review depending on what's appropriate for your platform. We would also appreciate it if you checked us out on Instagram, KnoxandNature_podcast, YouTube, or TikTok at KnoxandNature. I think that pretty much covers it. Friendly reminder, by the time this episode comes out, we're going to be right around the corner for TAC registration, both for Michigan and PA TAC, literally the week after this drops. So don't forget to get registered. And hopefully we'll see somebody out there. Again, I don't know that we... It'd be weird if we ran into like a random person. They're like, oh my gosh, I watch you on YouTube and I listen to your podcast.
That would be super weird.
But if you do...
We'll give you a free sticker.
We'll give you free stickers. We'll have a conversation, you know. Like,
we'll sign your hat.
We'll sign your hat. Yeah, 100%. So, yeah. We appreciate you listening to this one. And we will catch you guys in the next one. Thanks.